él, todita la noche rezó por él, que viva mi San Miguel, todita la noche rezó por él.
Y ahora vamos a lo que ha ocurrido en este país durante esta semana.
El número de personas que se identifican como indígenas en Canadá creció casi el doble de rápido que la población no indígena y ahora es de 1.8 millones, alrededor del 5% de la población, según los datos del censo recientemente publicados.
Del 2016 al 2021, el número de personas que se identificaban como indígenas en Canadá creció un 9.4%. La población no indígena creció solo un 5.3% en el mismo periodo.
Aunque esa tasa de crecimiento es alta, es casi la mitad de la tasa de crecimiento de la población que se identificó como indígena entre 2011 y 2016, que fue de 18.9%.
El censo del 2021 atribuyó esa tasa de crecimiento más rápida a una mayor tasa de natalidad y a los cambios que se han producido con el tiempo en la forma de responder a las preguntas del censo.
En general, los encuestados se han vuelto más propensos a identificarse como indígenas con el tiempo, dijo el portavoz del censo.
Las razones por las que es más probable que la gente se identifique como indígena pueden estar relacionadas con factores sociales y externos, como cambios en la legislación o sentencias judiciales.
Statistics Canada dijo que debido a las dificultades para recopilar datos del censo sobre las Primeras Naciones y otras comunidades indígenas, se debe tener cierta precaución al comparar los años del censo. El censo también reveló que la población indígena es también más joven que la no indígena.
La edad media de los indígenas es de 33.6 años en el 2021, en comparación con los 41.8 años de la población no indígena, señalan los datos del censo.
Los inuits son los más jóvenes de los tres grupos de población indígena, con una edad media de 28.9 años. Los habitantes de las Primeras Naciones tienen una edad media de 32.5 años, mientras que los mestizos tienen una edad media de 35.9 años.
Las poblaciones indígenas también tienen un mayor porcentaje de niños que la media. Los niños de 14 años o menos representan el 25.4% de la población indígena, mientras que los niños solo representan el 16% de la población no indígena.
Entre tanto, en nuestra provincia, en el segundo y último debate de la campaña electoral de Quebec, los cuatro candidatos que aspiran a desplazar a François Legault como premier de la provincia lo atacaron, algunos por no hacer lo suficiente por el clima, otros por la salud o la lengua francesa.
A poco más de una semana del día de la votación y con Legault a la cabeza de las encuestas, el debate del jueves era una de las últimas oportunidades para que los partidos transmitieran sus mensajes a los votantes.
Legault, líder de la coalición Avenir Quebec, Dominique Anglade del Partido Liberal de Quebec, Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois de Québec solidaire, Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon del Parti québécois y Éric Duhaime del Partido Conservador de Quebec también discutieron sobre la inflación, los impuestos, la educación y cuestiones de identidad como la inmigración y el eterno tema de la soberanía.
El debate comenzó con los candidatos dirigiéndose por turnos a Legault y su historial medioambiental. El partido de Legault ha sido criticado por no haber hecho lo suficiente para abordar el cambio climático durante su primer mandato, pero durante el debate él pregonó la capacidad de su equipo para construir una economía verde. La lucha contra el cambio climático no está en ustedes, le replicó la líder liberal Dominique Anglade.
Nadeau-Dubois, que tuvo varios intercambios directos con Legault, acusó al premier de sembrar el miedo sobre la estrategia de Quebec Solidaire para el medio ambiente en lugar de proponer un plan viable.
Para guardar los adornos de Halloween hay que dejar de asustar a la gente. Debería inspirar a los quebequenses, proponer soluciones, dijo el portavoz de Quebec Solidaire.
Legault, a su vez, acusó a Nadeau Dubois de proponer un plan medioambiental poco realista que obstaculizaría la economía de la provincia. A lo largo de la campaña, Legault ha atacado la propuesta de Quebec Solidaire de imponer un impuesto de 15% a los coches muy contaminantes.
Es un poco como la magia, dijo Legault. Es un poco como si estuviéramos en el País de las Maravillas, en referencia a las ideas medioambientalistas de Quebec Solidaire.
Quebec pretende reducir sus emisiones de gases de efecto invernadero en un 37.5% para 2030, en comparación esto con los niveles de 1990. Pero la provincia no alcanzó su objetivo de reducción del 20% fijado para 2020 y, en cambio, solo alcanzó el 6% de reducción.
Y ahora vamos a un nuevo segmento musical.
Mis penas, mis alegrías, mi tristeza y soledad, mis ilusiones perdidas y un camino por andar. A veces pregunto al viento y no me quiere escuchar. La calle donde jugaba mi juventud, mi soñar, un cigarrillo a escondidas, un domingo sin jugar. A veces pregunto al viento y no me quiere escuchar. El viento sigue su marcha, yo me quedo y él se va. Cuando paso por la calle y me miran al pasar, sé que esas mismas personas de mí se van a olvidar. Las luces se han apagado con el aplauso final. Los que hoy tanto me quieren, mañana me harán llorar. Y a veces pregunto al viento y no me quiere escuchar. El viento sigue su marcha, yo me quedo y él se va. Yo me quedo y él se va.
La revista de la semana. La monarquía y algunas interrogantes que genera en este país. Este pasado lunes 19, con el funeral de la reina Isabel en Londres, vino a culminar lo que seguramente será uno de los hechos noticiosos de este año que ya se aproxima a su fin, incluso opacando otros sucesos mundiales. Pero en fin, es como se determinan las prioridades informativas y cómo a su vez estas son asimiladas por la población en gran parte del mundo. Es posible que para muchos inmigrantes, cuando recién arriban en este país, el que esta tierra sea una monarquía y que, por tanto, la jefatura del Estado sea compartida con el Reino Unido, Australia, Nueva Zelanda y otros tantos estados que alguna vez fueron parte del Imperio Británico, debe ser un poco difícil de entender. Posiblemente ella lleva también a una pregunta que muchos se hagan: ¿por qué es así? La respuesta está en la historia de este país y de cómo llegó a constituirse como Estado soberano. A diferencia de Estados Unidos o de nuestros propios países latinoamericanos, cuya formación nacional fue producto de sublevaciones armadas y guerras, en nuestro caso contra la corona española, Canadá, aunque tuvo también sus instancias de violencia, incluyendo levantamientos armados, no se crea que todo se hizo muy pacíficamente, sin embargo, el nacimiento mismo del Estado-nación canadiense fue producto de un proceso de negociaciones en el cual nunca hubo un intento rupturista como sí lo había habido en el proceso independentista de Estados Unidos. Los fundadores de Canadá, como luego lo harían también los colonos en Australia y Nueva Zelanda, más bien crearon este Estado como una suerte de continuidad de la herencia británica, más el componente francés de Quebec. Ciertamente, la institución central en este proceso fue la monarquía, junto a otros aspectos que el sistema parlamentario, la organización de la judicatura y la mayor parte de la estructura legal hicieron también parte de todo esto, ¿no?, del nuevo Estado. Por un largo tiempo, antes que se estableciera la ciudadanía canadiense, los habitantes de este país eran aún súbditos británicos. Todo esto de algún modo retrata el carácter evolutivo del Estado canadiense, un aspecto que tiene sus méritos, indudablemente, como también sus bemoles. El peso de algunas tradiciones ha jugado en contra de ciertos avances. Por ejemplo, en materia de legislación electoral, el sistema First Past the Post, copiado del método británico para elegir representantes, es visto hoy por mucha gente como un factor distorsionador de la representatividad democrática. Lo que nos lleva a la interrogante sobre si la monarquía misma es una institución aún relevante para este país. Los reyes, en principio, no están sujetos a los vaivenes de los cambios en la opinión pública, ya que no son figuras electas. Sin embargo, es evidente que la percepción que la gente se hace de ellos tiene un cierto peso. Nadie cuestiona que la fallecida reina, en cuanto a sus cualidades humanas, era ampliamente respetada y querida. Basta ver cómo millones de personas en Londres hicieron cola por unas 20 horas para poder acercarse a su lugar de velatorio. No sabemos cómo es esa devoción en Canadá. Ciertamente en Quebec no es mucha, pero tampoco hay aquí, ni siquiera en esta provincia, una animadversión a la institución, sino más bien indiferencia. La diversidad demográfica de Canadá, con mucha gente que no tiene un ancestro británico, sin duda influye en que el lazo emocional hacia la monarquía ya no sea como hace 50 años o más. Por todo ello, la interrogante sobre el futuro de la monarquía en Canadá podría plantearse en el futuro, no ahora, por cierto, cuando Carlos III recién ha asumido la corona. ¿Seguirá Canadá los pasos de Barbados, que hace poco se transformó en república? Por cierto, en estos mismos instantes hay muchas otras preocupaciones: la inflación, la salud, preocupaciones que ciertamente son mucho más importantes que pensar si se quiere un rey o no. Además, la Constitución canadiense requiere que un cambio de tal envergadura debe contar con la unanimidad de las provincias y la mayoría del Parlamento, algo prácticamente imposible de lograr. Por otro lado, para los pueblos indígenas de Canadá, que en tiempos coloniales firmaron tratados con emisarios o representantes de la corona, la presencia monárquica sigue siendo garante del cumplimiento de esos acuerdos, que la verdad sea dicha, Canadá no siempre ha cumplido. La reina ha muerto, viva el rey, dice el viejo dictado, que así enfatiza la continuidad de la institución y, por ello mismo, o quizás por simple inercia, la institución que al menos en Canadá vive más bien en un ámbito de indiferencia, probablemente seguirá sin llamar mayormente la atención pública. Uno solo lo notará cuando paulatinamente los billetes de $20 vayan reemplazando la figura de la reina por la de su hijo, ahora el nuevo monarca, y en las monedas ya no se lea Elizabeth II de Regina, fórmula latina Deo gratia Regina, que significa reina por la gracia de Dios, y con el nuevo monarca ahora rezará rey por la gracia de Dios. Una fórmula que se remonta a tiempos medievales, cuando se creía que el orden monárquico era dictado por Dios mismo. Aunque por otro lado, esa indiferencia actual no significa que en el futuro la actitud del pueblo canadiense no pueda cambiar y en eso la manera como el nuevo monarca actúe o sea percibido por la ciudadanía también puede ser un factor. The Weekly Review, The Monarchy and Some Questions It Generates in This Country. This past Monday 19th, the funeral of Queen Elizabeth in London came to culminate what will surely be one of the news events of this year that is already approaching its end, even overshadowing other world events. But in the end, it is how news priorities are determined and how they are assimilated by the population in much of the world. It is possible that for many immigrants, when they first arrive in this country, the fact that this land is a monarchy and therefore the head of state is shared with the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand and so many other states that were once part of the British Empire must be a little difficult to understand. Possibly it also leads to a question that many may ask, why is this so? The answer lies in the history of this country and how it became a sovereign state. Unlike the United States or our own Latin American countries, whose national formation was the product of armed uprisings and wars, in our case against the Spanish Crown, Canada, although it also had its instances of violence, including armed uprising, not everything was done very peacefully here. Nevertheless, the birth of the Canadian nation-state was the product of a process of negotiations in which there was never a rupture attempt as there had been in the process of independence in the United States. The founders of Canada, as the settlers in Australia and in New Zealand would later do, rather created this state as a sort of continuity of the British heritage, plus the French component of Quebec. Certainly, the central institution in this process was the monarchy, along with other aspects such as the parliamentary system, the organization of the judiciary, and most of the legal structure. For a long time, before Canadian citizenship was established, the inhabitants of this country were still British subjects. All of this, in a way, portrays the evolving character of the Canadian state, an aspect that has its merits, undoubtedly, as well as its flaws. The weight of some traditions has played against certain advances. For example, in terms of electoral legislation, the first-past-the-post system, copied from the British method of electing representatives, is seen today by many people as a distorting factor of democratic representation. This brings us to the question of whether the monarchy itself, a relevant institution for this country, is still. Kings, in principle, are not subject to the vagaries of changing public opinion since they are not elected figures. However,
people's perceptions of them carry a certain weight. No one questions that the late queen, in terms of her human qualities, was widely respected and loved. It is enough to see how millions of people in London queued for some 20 hours to get close to her wake. We don't know how that devotion is in Canada. Certainly, in Quebec it is not much, but neither is there here in this province an animosity to the institution, but rather indifference. Canada's diverse demographics, with many people who do not have British ancestry, undoubtedly means that the emotional attachment to the monarchy is no longer as it was 50 years ago or more. For all these reasons, the question about the future of the monarchy in Canada could be raised in the future. Will Canada follow in the footsteps of Barbados, which recently became a republic? By the way, at this very moment there are many other concerns, inflation and health care, which are far more important than whether or not one wants a king. Besides, the Canadian Constitution requires that a change of such magnitude must have the unanimity of the provinces and the majority of the Parliament. This is practically impossible to achieve. On the other hand, for the Indigenous people of Canada, who in colonial times signed treaties with emissaries or representatives of the Crown, the monarchical presence remain a guarantor of the fulfillment of these agreements, which, truth be told, Canada has not always honored. The Queen is dead, long live the King, goes the old dictum that thus emphasizes the continuity of the institution, and for that very reason, or perhaps out of simple inertia, the institution, which at least in Canada lives rather in a realm of indifference, will probably continue to attract little public attention. One will only notice it when gradually the $20 bills will replace the figure of the queen with that of her son, now the new monarch, and the coins will no longer read Elizabeth II Digi Regina, Latin formula Deo Gratia Regina, which means Queen by the grace of God, and that with the new monarch will now read King by the grace of God, a formula that dates back to medieval times when it was believed that the monarchical order was dictated by God himself. Although, on the other hand, this current indifference does not mean that in the future the attitude of the Canadian people may not change, and in that the way the new monarchy, or the new monarch rather, acts or is perceived by the citizenry may also be a factor. Good day.
Paseaba doña Arbola de la sala al ventanal con los dolores de parto que la hacían suspirar. Quien estuviera ahora en mi palacio real, la suegra como maldita lo acababa de escuchar. Vete tú para mi arbola, ya que te quieres marchar, que en cuanto venga el buen conde, yo le daré de cenar, yo le daré de mi vino, yo le daré de mi pan. Sale por la puerta Arbola y al conde se oye llegar. Deme usted al espejo quieres, hijo, el de oro, el de cristal. No pregunto por el de oro, menos por el de cristal, que pregunto por mi arbola, que ese es mi espejo real.
Y en el fichero latino de hoy, 25 de septiembre, entre los anuncios de interés general tenemos dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera vacuna de refuerzo, la quinta dosis, para aquellos adultos mayores de 18 años. También el gobierno de Quebec ha anunciado que ya está disponible la vacuna para los niños más pequeños, esto es, menores de 5 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé, en francés o en inglés.
Y en los eventos, concierto del conjunto Quilapayún, sábado 9 de octubre a las 19 horas en el Teatro Maisonneuve de la Place des Arts. Precios 50, 70 y 100 dólares, pero hay rebajas de 50% hasta el 30 de septiembre. Para eso hay que ir al sitio web placedesart.com y marcar el código SUR.
Presentación de la cantata Santa María con la actuación del grupo Quilapayún de Chile. Esto es el sábado 15 de octubre a las 18 horas en la iglesia St. James. Esto es en el 463 de San Catrín Oeste, muy cerquita del metro Maquil.
Los tickets cuestan 70 y 100 dólares, pero hay rebajas de un 50% siempre y cuando se compren antes del 30 de septiembre. Información en el 438-886-2397 y compra de billetes en el sitio web Passline, todo junto, .us. Repito, Passline.us.
En nuestra sección publicaciones tenemos las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence. Se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Universidad de Montreal, en el 3200 Jean Rigan en la librería Bertrand, en el 430 de Saint-Pierre en el Viejo Montreal, en el internet en la cadena Renoble, en la librería Argos en el 1841A de Saint-Catherine Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, esto es en el 2220 de McGill College Avenue. El precio es de 10 dólares más impuestos.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Principalmente soleado, con una temperatura máxima de 20 grados. Para esta noche, posibilidades de lluvia con una mínima de 14 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, solo tienen que comunicarse con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica, laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Visítenos en www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime. Y de paso, denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del internet. Entra al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Jeff Eichner of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, United States of America. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, September the 25th. We thank you for joining us. My name is Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, if you have any questions or comments for the show. We are live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We have 842 members. We welcome Sunil, Don, Kevin, Tim, and Parvez joining us this week. And our YouTube channel, where you can go and listen to the show anytime you like, is International Radio Report. We're almost at that 700 subscriber mark. We're at 698 subscribers. Yeah. So if you have not subscribed, go to the YouTube channel and subscribe, and maybe you'll hit number 700 for us. We have a lot of information to pass along to you this week. We want to start off with just a few comments about last week's program, which came to you from Sherwood Park, Alberta, just outside of Edmonton, at the 60th anniversary of our Canadian International DX Club. I want to thank everybody who participated in the show. We were in the midst of our CIDX barbecue at the time. And Jill, you had the opportunity to squeeze the interviews into half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty difficult to do when you've got that many people. It was nice to hear from everybody, and everyone had a great time. We got to do a bit of sightseeing around Edmonton. But I think the highlight of the weekend was, two things, the barbecue and the video presentation that Mickey put together for us of sort of the history of different events of CIDX over the years. Trying to remember a lot of people's names and looking at how we looked 30 or 40 years ago or whatever in some of the old pictures. And then, of course, the visit out to Lamont, Alberta, VE6JY, Don Moman's antenna farm. If any of you were on Zoom when we did the videos out there, it's overwhelming. It's hard to describe. If you did see it, it doesn't do it justice to see it online. You really have to be there and get a look at this incredible installation. Anyways, we got back last Monday and had a great time. The trip was interesting. Our plane got hit by lightning on the way home.
Oh, wow.
which is an interesting experience. The crew was a little shaken by that, so obviously we were as well. But apparently it happens more often than not, and the plane continued on from Edmonton to Montreal without any delays. So moving forward on to our 61st anniversary, I guess, next year at CIDX. So thanks to everybody who sent in comments. And we have sent out some of the EQSLs for the ham radio contacts that we made with the club stations. So we still have some more to get sent out yet. So if you did make contact with us, you will be getting those EQSLs in the email fairly shortly. So the ratings have come out for Montreal radio stations and other cities across Canada, coming to us from Numeris. But we have some news about the Numeris ratings to begin with. This will be the last time that Numeris will be releasing public information about the ratings. It looks like they will only be issuing the full reports to the radio companies, the broadcast owners, who pay you know, a substantial amount of money for those ratings numbers. So for whatever reason, we're not really sure why that decision has been taken, but we'll have to see if we have other ways of accessing information about the ratings in the future. So the numbers that we have are for the summer of 2022, and I guess there's really not a lot to report on. Stations that are at the top continue to be at the top here in Montreal, both English and French. Stations that are near the bottom continue to be near the bottom. And Virgin Radio, which we always comment on, continues to drop. We just keep wondering, when is Bell going to do something with Virgin Radio in English in Montreal? So far, nothing except continuing to lose listeners. I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the radio audience declining and the quality of the radio declining. We've complained about Montreal radio for a long time that it's, you know, it's not a great radio market here to begin with. You know, the same stations seem to be staying on top, CJD in English and the all-news radio station 98.5 in French, being the top two stations in Montreal. Any other things that sort of caught your eye, Gilles?
The only interesting comments I would have is, of course, the top music station in the francophone market is 105.7, Rhythm FM, which is CFGL. You know, it's interesting because I look at its rating, which is quite high compared to all the other music stations. It hits me that it's also a station that its programming, its music, and DJs are a lot more catering to an audience that's my age.
Okay.
But that makes me understand why it's maybe more popular, because we are probably more radio listeners than the younger generation,
right?
I would guess. Of course, Chaume, I always look at Chaume because Chaume is an interesting station on its own because of its audience, both in the francophone and anglophone side, because it's the only rock station pretty much in Montreal, although 94.3 is trying to get much more rock than it used to. But when you put both numbers, the francophone and anglophone, they have a good market share. Actually, they have a nice spot in the Montreal market.
Chaume FM certainly does draw the audience from both English and French listeners, but a few of the other stations do it as well, predominantly music stations, of course. Not to the extent of Chaume, like you said, the only real rock station in the city. The music stations, there is a crossover a little bit, but really not all that much in the other music formats. The spoken word stations, really very little crossover. So, you know, we see CJD dominating the English side as usual. And as we said, the 98.5 station in French taking a good chunk, although Radio Canada in French does very well in Montreal.
Yeah, definitely.
So they've continually had a pretty good ratings. The rest are just, you know, kind of out there. There's some interesting comments that were made in a blog, the Fagstein blog. Some people commenting that, you know, the reason that Numeris might not be putting out these numbers anymore is that the radio owners don't necessarily want people in the general public to see numbers going down. You know, it's a possibility, but, you know, we really have to look at the numbers and analyze them a little bit more to see where things are going. Certainly this ratings period is the summer, and the summer audience is generally lower than the rest of the year. It's not as important a ratings book for the radio stations as the fall and the winter numbers are.
You know, one of the things that's interesting about not having these reports anymore also is, you know, already we see how stations use just one part of the ratings at a moment in the day to say they're number one, when in reality they're kind of far from being number one in general. So now imagine without having the public numbers visible. They are the only ones that are going to have these information. They're going to just say what they want pretty much, and we're going to have to dig in saying, okay, I'm not sure it's true, but we won't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah, they'll have to prove those numbers to the advertisers, of course, but the general public, you know, they're doing it already to a certain extent, as you said, you know, calling themselves, you know, number one at in a market, but it may be only at a certain time of the day or a certain format or a certain age group or what have you, but they don't often elaborate on that. So anyways, the numbers are out there. We'll put some links up so you can go and take a look at numbers, not only here in Montreal, but other cities across Canada. And it may be the last time you get a chance to look at them.
So Canada's longest running campus radio station is celebrating 100 years of broadcasting. This is via Karim Mosna, CFRC, Kingston, Ontario. CFRC 101.9 will celebrate 100 years of broadcasting from Queen's University in Kingston with a plaque unveiling ceremony. Queen's University Principal and Vice Chancellor Patrick Dean, City of Kingston Mayor Brian Patterson, MP Mark Gerritsen, and MPP Ted Sue, and former station manager Steve Cutway will speak at the event. CFRC will also honor two volunteers who have broadcasted on the station for over 40 consecutive years, Jim Birch, host of Canadian Shield, and Wayne Vermette, host of The Blues Project. 40 years gone by, you wonder, why am I staying? Why am I doing it this way? The big why is sending out music. Blues is the music of truth, the music of healing. My aim was to bring music that was somewhat current and toward the student body. I've become attuned to my own healing as well. It's good for me. I get a solid fix every Saturday from 6 to 8. I'm very comfortable continuing on, and I hope that what I'm sending out is music of truth and healing, says Vermette. Vermette, who has been with CFRC for 41 years, adds he has met his two goals. The ceremony will begin at 1 p.m. just outside the station at Carruthers Hall on Queen's University campus. Following the plaque and volunteer recognition ceremony, there will be a meet and greet for supporters, alumni, volunteers, and staff at the grad club. There will also be an open house at the station from 1 to 4 p.m. where Queen's University Archives will showcase selected CFRC memorabilia and photographs. So this is great. 100 years of broadcasting is fantastic.
There's a lot of commercial stations this year, I know, celebrating 100 years of broadcasting. Yep. We've talked about a few of them over the year. But a campus station is, that's pretty impressive. First off, the university has to have been around for 100 years for the station to be around for 100 years. But a couple people there, 41 years or 40 years on the air. We're working towards that. This program has been on since 1987. Both of us haven't been there for all of it, but a lot of it. Yeah, maybe we'll catch up to those guys at some point. Who knows?
You know, thinking of a century of broadcasting, we're in the 2020s, and we know that a lot of stations actually started in the 1920s. So
that's right.
I think in the next few years, there's going to be a lot of stations celebrating 100 years.
No doubt. Next, we go to the FCC, who are tracking communications outages in Puerto Rico. This is via Paul McLean in Radio World. In the wake of Hurricane Fiona, 9 radio stations and roughly 30% of cell sites in the affected area reported being off the air as of midday Wednesday, according to the FCC Disaster Information Reporting System. According to poweroutage.us, roughly 3/4 of the territory remained without power on Wednesday. Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel said Tuesday that the FCC was deploying staff to the affected area to perform post-landfall on-site surveys of communication services and infrastructure, as well as to assist with coordination and oversight of communications restoration. She said the FCC was coordinating with FEMA, CISA, other government partners, and communications providers. Hurricane Fiona has caused significant damage within its path, including storm surge, wind damage, mudslides, and flooding. It also has caused substantial damage to the communications network, resulting in service disruptions and outages throughout areas in Puerto Rico. She said in her statement, it was 5 years ago that Hurricane Maria ravaged Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, and now Puerto Rico confronts another storm with Hurricane Fiona. In times of crisis, staying connected takes on new urgency. I saw that firsthand during my visit to Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, and now some of those same areas have been hit once more. And that storm continues to move on. As we're recording today, it is going through Bermuda and heading northward towards the maritime provinces of Canada, which look like they may get hit with some strange type of storm.
Yeah, they were saying that the hurricane will stay pretty strong because of a very unique pattern in the weather, where it's really cold, and actually it's cold for this time of year in Montreal today. On our side, but in the Atlantic, the temperature is much warmer, and even the waters are quite warm. So they say that the storm is going to continue feeding and getting a lot more energy because of the temperature difference.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out on some of the radio stations and certainly weather stations, weather fact stations that you might be able to tune into on shortwave, following information about the storm. Of course, the Hurricane Watch Net has been active on amateur radio during these current storms as well. So that's something you could keep your ear tuned to. We may have more of these hurricanes yet. The season is not over. So we'll keep a watch on that for you.
So there's an ex-Michigan TV broadcaster that was fired after off-air attack on a radio co-host. This is from the Detroit News. Former Michigan broadcaster Vic Faust was fired from his job as an anchor on the Fox affiliate in St. Louis after a recording of him berating a female radio colleague last week was leaked. Faust co-hosts The Edge morning show on KFNS-FM 100.7 radio station in Missouri with Crystal Cooper. He used profanity several times while insulting Cooper in the leaked recording just after the radio show finished recording on September 13th. Vic Faust no longer works for Fox 2, KPLR Channel 11, or Nexstar Media. Station general manager Kurt Kruger told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch Wednesday morning. Faust apologized on Twitter on Wednesday afternoon. "My words hurt Crystal, my colleagues, and family," he wrote. "I made a huge mistake, and I'm ashamed. As I work to earn trust again, I hope we can have an open dialogue about respect in the workplace and forgiveness." The incident reportedly unfolded September 13 towards the end of the Edge morning show. The outburst appears to have started after the closing minutes of the show, when Cooper jokingly said Faust called her stupid on the air the previous day and objected to the co-host criticizing his computer skill, according to a YouTube video the radio station posted. Faust went on to say Cooper referenced a dumb topic, said she shouldn't be bringing up some subjects, and called her a liar and immature and stupid several more times before the final commercial break. And the edited clip of audio, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch said, was sent anonymously and recorded during the break. Faust can be heard repeatedly calling Cooper names that are bleeped out. Cooper stopped working for the station the day that the incident occurred, according to her Facebook page. So, more of these little problems in the behind the microphone. And, it happens way too often, unfortunately. And there's no place for that, There's place for respect. And probably he's going to have a hard time, getting back into any radio field with problem and event happening.
Yeah, I would think so. And you just know that everything's being recorded now. So, yep. You're not going to get away with anything like that. So, it caught up to him very, very quickly.
That's why I actually am the one editing, so that we can already edit all of this stuff happening that you guys don't know about.
That's right.
So what's happening with our sun? The sun has been relatively quiet this week, although there were some geomagnetic storming that did occur just because of solar wind most of the time. We are at this time of year when the solar wind just is enough to actually make some geomagnetic storming, which is always the case around the equinox. There was a magnetic filament eruption on the September 23rd that could maybe today do some disruption in communications a little bit. But overall, what is really to look for is a new sunspot 3107, which is huge. And that could mean solar flares. Take a look at that and see if conditions change. Maybe the sun has something to do with it. Sunspot number 99, the solar flux around 137. No coronal holes really affecting us for the week ahead for now. So conditions for now look quiet, but that can change at any moment. And of course, the best way to know what conditions are all about is to turn on a radio and listen.
This is Peter Laws in Norman, Oklahoma. On the air since 1987, you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of radio every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and live streaming around the globe at ckut.ca.
Our next story comes to us from Africa. It is posted from the Committee to Protect Journalists via Radio World. From Kinshasa, armed men in military uniforms raid Congolese broadcaster. Congolese authorities should thoroughly investigate and hold accountable those responsible for the attack on Radio Evangelique Butembo Oicha, known as Rebo, in North Kivu, and ensure the safety of all journalists in the country, the Committee to Protect Journalists said Wednesday. Around 9 p.m. on September the 12th, four armed men in uniforms resembling those of the Congolese army forced their way into the office of the privately owned faith-based broadcast station in Oicha, the capital of the Beni territory in North Kivu province. They threatened two technicians, beat one on the back with the butt of a gun, and seized three computers, a recording device, and two mobile phones belonging to the technicians, according to media reports and the broadcaster's editor-in-chief, who spoke to the committee via messaging app. The station stopped broadcasting after the attack and equipment seizures. In May 2021, the Congolese government imposed military governance, known as the State of Siege, over the country's eastern North Kivu and Ituri provinces. Repeated attacks and harassment of journalists in those regions have followed. The station manager said the technicians told him that the armed men broke down the office door and threatened to harm them if they tried to stop the attackers from seizing the broadcaster's equipment. They also confiscated their phones to prevent them from contacting others. When they objected, the armed men hit one on the back with the butt of a gun and then began taking the equipment. The technician received treatment at a local hospital the next day for a small wound on his back. The second technician was not physically injured in the incident. Pascal Mapenzi, media coordinator for Beni territory, told CPJ by phone that in solidarity with the station, Beni journalists gave local authorities 48 hours to find the armed men and return the materials taken from the broadcaster. However, that deadline expired and there were days without information on Saturday, September 17th and Monday, September 19th, according to Mapenzi and a local Radio Oasis report. So more dangers at working at a radio station, military, or at least people who looked like military, coming in to seize equipment and threaten workers at this radio station.
This just shows the power of radio. And if you don't like what someone's going to say on the air, well, things happen in some of these countries, unfortunately.
Yeah, too many reports like this that we have in our stories, but important to get that word out to everyone. We have a quick note from CKUT Radio. Stefan Christoph sent us a note of some special programming that's coming up on September the 27th. Not on CKUT, but they've received word at community and campus stations around the world about this. It's an event called Musicians for Palestine, and you can use the hashtag Musicians for Palestine for more information about this. Radio Al-Hara is inviting people to join a collective four-hour listening session to musicians around the world who are joining Musicians for Palestine on September 27th at 6 p.m. in Bethlehem. That's 11 a.m. our time, Eastern, or 1500 UTC, at the performance venue of Al Jisr in Bethlehem. The four-hour mix will feature a great diversity of artists from all corners of the world. They say, let's join together and listen in a spirit of solidarity across borders. So the programming, 4 hours of it, will be streamed at Radio Alhara, that's A-L-H-A-R-A, radioalhara.net. So that could be interesting, a variety of music from around the world. You can check the hashtag again, Musicians for Palestine. Now, you have some information about your official SWL YouTube channel.
Yes, I've been doing for a long time, 2 shows per week, which are usually from 2 to 3 hours and sometimes even more. Unfortunately, sometimes life takes over and compresses your time that you have to do stuff. So my caregiving duties and the fact that I already do a lot of other things, including the tech channel that I take care of, plus, you know, we do this show, and then I do the utility column and the messenger and taking care of a cat. all of that compresses your time at some point, and you got to make choices. So I'll be reducing to 1 show a week for now, which will be Saturday at 20 hours UTC for the live show. So only once a week for now. You know, I'll probably come back to 2 a week eventually, but for now, once a week.
Okay. Well, people can take note of that. So Saturdays, 2000 UTC on the official SWL channel for the live YouTube shows with Jill.
So we got some upcoming ham radio contests.
A few interesting ones this week. The first one especially, I didn't know that there were contests going on in China very often on ham radio, but the Worked All Provinces of China DX contest, 0600 Zulu October 1st to 0559 Zulu October 2nd. It's organized by the Mulan DX Club. The objective is for amateurs around the world to work any other amateurs during the 24-hour contest period while contacting as many as possible with amateurs in Chinese provinces, municipal cities, autonomous regions, and special administration regions. All of those contacts are encouraged. The bands will be 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. This particular contest is CW only. So not often we hear Chinese ham radio activity. Nope. This one will be in CW.
There's the Oceania DX contest phone, 0600 Zulu October 1st to 06 Zulu October 2nd, organized by the Wireless Institute of Australia. And the bands are 160 through 10 meters, and it's single sideband phone.
There'll be a lot of interesting countries down in the South Pacific on the air for that one. So yeah, if you're looking to make contact with stations down there, that will be a good time to do it. California's QSO party is taking place 1600 Zulu October 1st to 2200 Zulu October 2nd. That one is organized by the Northern California Contest Club, 160 through 10 meters. It is both a CW and a phone SSB.
There's the Peanut Power QRP Sprint, 2200 Zulu to 2359 Zulu October 2nd, organized by the North Georgia QRP Club, bands 80, 40, and 20. It's both CW and SSB and QRP stations only, which means only low power.
Yeah, that'll be a challenge. Only a short sprint, though, only a 2-hour event. So lots of activity going on. Lots of interesting stories. You may come across some stories for us that maybe we don't find ourselves. You can send them to us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, or you can post them directly to our Facebook group, International Radio Report. That will do it for this week. We thank you for tuning in. We'll come back again for a next edition of our show next Sunday. Thank you for tuning in to us, the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in the city of Montreal.
Bye-bye.
across Asia and the Pacific. You're listening to Radio Australia.
Radio Australia, 24 hours a day in English and also in Chinese.
这里是澳洲广播电台 Radio Australia.
Indonesian, sudah sedang mendengarkan siaran dari Radio Australia. Khmer.
Message from Lake Bahasa Australia, Melbourne, Asia Pacific.
Pigeon, welcome now. Long talk with in broadcast, become long Radio Australia. And Vietnamese.
Quý vị đang nghe chương trình của Đài Phát thanh Úc Châu.
For tuning and program guides.
I slept too little and drank too much. What's my hypnosis anyway? Get out of bed like this. Oh, Christ.
Rise and shine. With CKUT 90.3 FM.
If your last vaccination against COVID-19 was more than 5 months ago, it's time to get another dose. Boosting your antibodies reduces the risk of getting or transmitting the virus, and booster doses help reduce the number of hospitalizations and deaths related to COVID-19. For better protection against the virus, book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine and follow the recommended vaccination schedule. Vaccination against COVID-19, a good way of extending our protection. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is back from September 28th to October 2nd, 2022. 5 days of music and over 200 artists, including teen punk viral sensations, the Linda Lindas, Canada's first drag race winner Priyanka, 70s British funk group Simone, Grammy-nominated and Juno Award winner Alison Russell, iconic dancehall queen Sister Nancy, post-rock legends Tortoise, and many more. The festival also features film screenings, visual art, symposium discussions, and as always, many surprises. Get your tickets and passes now at popmontreal.com. A CKUT co-presentation.